This is episode 408 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, October the 29th, 2012.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
This is an exciting day in the history of the NBN.
Copyright.gov is down. FBI.gov is next to go.
The world is in trouble. There is no Wikipedia.
Who here has an iPhone? Who here has a BlackBerry? Who here uses Gmail? Well, you're all screwed.
So we'll be monitoring this very closely. No one will pay for these rights if they can't find a way to make money off them.
Copyright is such a big issue. Legislation as 2006 is already outdated by the new technologies.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. On the show today, we'll take a look at the new arrivals in the tech world last week, primarily from the biggest two companies in the world, Apple and Microsoft. The long-time rumoured and highly anticipated iPad Mini has finally been revealed, and the not-so-long-awaited, in fact, probably the most underwhelming software launch of the year, Windows 8, also went on sale last week. In fact, it was so underwhelming that ABC Radio's AM presenter, Tony Eastley, referred to it as Windows 9. Oh dear, Microsoft. Also this week, Tiger Airways Australia has been slapped with a $110,000 infringement notice by the Australian Communications and Media Authority for failing to unsubscribe customers from marketing emails. Taiwanese-based HTC profits slumped big time this quarter on the heels of the record run in 2011. Alleged online privacy kingpin and alleged musician Kim.com is back in business, and rumour has it that the next biggest shortage in the world is touchscreens. Don't forget there's the usual Oddspot gadget app and website of the week, as well Lena's back after GCAP last week, so that's all to come. First up, here's this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk with Dr. Ron.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News.
Welcome, everyone, to Windows 8.
Microsoft bets the house on its new desktop operating system. Apple launches the iPad Mini. Contracts are signed for NBN satellite ground stations. And Tiger Airways is fined for spamming its frequent flyers. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Microsoft has launched Windows 8 in Australia in what's been described as a bid to regain lost market ground from manufacturers like Apple and Samsung. The latest operating system from Microsoft has now been officially launched for desktops, as well as a version called Windows RT for tablets and laptops. At the Windows 8 launch event in New York, President of the Windows Live Division, Mr. Steven Sinofsky, said it was an amazing day for the evolution of PCs.
You know, in creating Windows 8, we shunned the incremental. We boldly reimagined Windows. From the chipset to the experience, Windows 8 is the next generation of Windows, computing for the next billion people.
Mr. Sinofsky said Windows 8 is simply the best release of Windows ever, and went on to describe three main aspects of the launch.
First is the availability of the upgrade from prior versions of Windows to Windows 8, in stores, online, and downloadable. Second is the grand opening of the Windows Store and the availability of a new generation of PCs designed for Windows 8. And third is the experience of new PCs powered by Windows RT. This is the Windows 8 experience optimized for PCs built with the ARM processor.
But in Australia, only upgrades to Windows 8 Professional are currently being sold, and users wanting a full version to install on a new machine are still in the dark with respect to availability and pricing. Windows 8 Pro upgrades cost $39.99 online or $69.99 for a boxed copy. Microsoft has still not released pricing for a full copy of Windows 8 Professional. A new tablet called Windows Surface was also launched last week, running the new Windows RT operating system. It features a 10.6-inch screen, up to 64 gigabytes of storage, as well as front and rear-facing cameras. A fold-out keyboard also functions as a protective cover. Windows Surface tablets are priced from $559 to $789 at similar price points to rival Apple's iPad. Analysts are now awaiting the launch of Windows Phone 8, scheduled in Australia for later this week. Apple has launched a fourth-generation iPad as well as the much-anticipated iPad Mini. In one of the most hotly predicted and speculated product announcements this year, Apple says there's less of it but no less to it, with a 7.9-inch Retina display, a dual-core A5 processor, and what Apple describes as a FaceTime HD front-side camera. In terms of price, the iPad Mini with Wi-Fi starts at $369 for a 16GB model, then $479 for a 32GB model, and $589 for a 64GB model. iPad Mini models with Wi-Fi and cellular connectivity are priced at $509, $619, and $729. Apple Senior Vice President Mr. Phil Schiller at last week's launch.
And what can you do with an iPad Mini that you can't already do with the amazing fourth generation iPad? Well, this. You can hold it in one hand. Now, this just isn't a shrunken down iPad. It's an entirely new design with a beautiful aluminum glass enclosure where every detail is finely crafted and made, just exquisite. And the process by which they're manufactured are at a level of tolerances unseen in our industry. There is nothing as amazing as this.
In good news for the local market, the cellular data version is compatible with Australian 4G and LTE networks at 1800 MHz, which is used by Telstra and Optus. At the same event, Apple launched a fourth generation iPad.
So just half a year ago, we introduced the third generation iPad with its Retina display, and it's remarkable. So that's why it's more incredible that we're sitting here today, just over half a year later, to talk about the fourth generation iPad.
Apple Senior Vice President Mr. Phil Schiller said the device was a powerhouse with an impressive raft of technical specifications.
The Apple A6X chip delivering even faster performance. We were already so far ahead of the competition, this just, I can't even see them in the rearview mirror. It doubles the performance for CPU tasks. That is a huge jump ahead. It also doubles the graphics performance. They were not close to us, and now we've doubled that again. In addition, we've added a new generation of Apple image signal processor for tasks like face recognition and image stabilization. So all of this power, 2x CPU power, 2x graphics power, new image processing, and it's energy efficient. The same 10 hours of battery life of the previous generation.
The iPad Mini and fourth generation iPad will go on sale in Australia on Friday, the 2nd of November. Online pre-ordering opened on Friday last week. The Minister for Broadband, Communications and the Digital Economy, Senator the Honourable Stephen Conroy, last week announced that contracts had been signed for the construction of 10 National Broadband Network satellite ground stations. Senator Conroy said contracts worth a total of around $180 million have been awarded to Perkins WA to build 4 ground stations in Western Australia, as well as Cochrane Corporation for 6 ground stations in Queensland, New South Wales, South Australia and Tasmania. The ground stations are an essential part of the NBN's long-term satellite service, providing NBN access to subscribers who live beyond the reach of fibre to the home and wireless. Mr. Conroy said construction of the ground stations will start early next year and be complete in 2014. And Tiger Airways has been fined $110,000 by the ACMA for sending email spam to its customers. The ACMA said it appeared a technical issue meant customers who had unsubscribed from email newsletters and marketing continued to receive unwelcome emails. In a statement, Tiger Airways said it deeply regrets that some of its customers were inconvenienced and that it had now reviewed and redesigned its processes to ensure regulatory compliance. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
We're back.
They're trying as hard as they can to convert missed calls into revenue.
And it was too tacky for Channel 10, and now Channel 9 have picked it up.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was painful. Painful.
Once I dug a bit further through the forums, I came across what the problem is.
You'll hear it through the soundproof glass.
There'll be spasmodic little, you know, odds and ends.
Our operators are standing by.
You'll miss this, won't you all? Everybody out there.
Hang on a minute.
Los Angeles.
No, just before.
Oh, hang on, back
I have to.
What kind of price point would an iPad Mini be?
Gets it all
getting
off
it off his chest. Exactly. Yeah.
No. I don't like Message Bank at all. It drives me crazy.
Russia came out ahead.
Did it?
Despite the Apple distraction, for the money you pay, you watch it'll shrink.
Oh, how appropriate.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's edition of Tech Talk Radio. Lots has been happening in the last week, bigness-wise. The big majors doing stuff. Maybe that took it away from everybody else. But there were some spammers, all sorts of things during the course of the week. HTC had news. Anyway, we'll talk about that on today's show. Dr. Ron, hello.
Hello, how are you this week?
Yes, I'm very well. Thank you very much.
We've got lots of our own personal news too, haven't we?
Have we?
And another big announcement a little bit later in the program.
Yes, another big announcement. We love big announcements here. That'll be coming up.
Everyone's got new gadgets, new technology, new stories.
There's lots of newness out there, isn't there?
There is. There
Nothing
is.
Else. It'll certainly keep us well entertained. Leans is back from GCAP.
Yay!
Hooray!
How was? We missed you last week.
Oh, thank you. I missed you guys too.
No, you didn't?
Well,
you
I were tried getting... to, and then I forgot about you.
I was going to say, you're out there having alcohol, but you can't.
I wasn't. No, I wasn't.
So you're watching everybody else have alcohol. Oh, that would have been really bad.
That was heaps of fun.
Oh.
No, it was really good. It was a good crowd.
You got lots of stories?
A few, but not... They're
see,
probably not
that's
gonna,
what happens when you're sober.
I remember stuff. No, probably not as much for gamers as for game makers, though. Because, it is for the people who make the
Where
games.
Was it? In town, obviously, but whereabouts in town?
The convention centre.
Ah, lots there?
Yeah, there was quite a few. I reckon there was probably about, I'm thinking back to the keynote, there would have been 200, 300 there, or maybe 200.
From all over the
yeah,
world?
Yeah, all over Australia.
Oh,
yeah.
Australia?
I think some people do actually come... from other places as well. We had a couple of international speakers, so they came from the States, I think was the furthest away they came from.
And what does GCAP stand for?
Game Connect Asia Pacific Conference.
Very good. Graham normally remembers those things because it's something with like his initials in it, but anyway. Hi, Graham, how are you?
Hello, Andrew. I'm well, thank you.
That's good. What's tricks over there? What new gadgets have you got? I saw one in your pocket. Are we going to do it? Is Dr. Ron going to do a big reveal after the break?
Dr. Ron called it last week at the start of the gadget of the week. He said that I would have one by the end of next week, and I said, no, I'm not going to. I'm gonna resist and hold out, and I didn't. I got a brand new phone, HTC One XL.
There's two of those in the studio.
Which was the gadget
now.
Last week, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, Ron got one as well.
They look good, actually. I might get one of those.
It took me all of about 2 hours to get fed up with the Sense launcher and to put a proper launcher on it.
Oh, have you rooted it already?
No. I just installed an alternative launcher.
Oh, you just downloaded it and ran that up?
Just download it from the market and then choose it as the default home screen and, yeah.
Very good. All right, well, we can talk all about new toys, new gadgets, because there's lots to talk about.
There is. Yes. You're holding out on everybody, too.
Am I?
About time somebody fessed up in here, I think.
I've got phone envy.
I've got phone envy.
I don't have
what
phone envy.
What do you mean you've got phone envy?
I like my phone.
A courier arrived at my office, the Tech Talk Radio Halls of Fame today, and they came bearing gifts from the Apple department. So there's a new iPhone 5 here in the studio at the moment.
You got one before I did.
It's a little lovely shiny black thing. And as I was just saying before we came on air, it reminds me of Zephyr Beeblebrock's in the spaceship. Where
stealing Hop like Desiato's spaceship.
That's the one. Gee, you've got a good memory. Douglas Adams has served you well over the course of time, hasn't he?
Yes, yeah. Black button on the black dashboard in the black spaceship, and when you
lights
press
up
it,
black
lights up black.
To let you know that you've pressed it, and says, please do not press this button again.
The please do not press this button again was on the Heart of Gold. It was.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Yes, you're right.
Yes.
Gee whiz. Did you ever read the book, Celine?
No.
No? Okay.
No, unfortunately. It's on my to-do list.
Is it?
I didn't know about... my parents failed me, obviously, because I didn't know about Douglas Adams till I was about 14.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I went through university with Douglas Adams. He kept us all in jovial spirits.
See, I was at the pub.
as is your wont.
Yep.
I used to read all those books on the train and tram on the way home from school, and yeah, it was most embarrassing because you just couldn't avoid bursting out laughing.
Yes. Especially the analogy of making tram black of white people. And white black and getting killed on the next zebra crossing and things like that, but that's for another time. You said you had some Coro Doctor on, did you?
Lots and lots. Let's do it.
Your say on Tech Talk Radio.
Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au is how to communicate with the panel. If you're listening to us live, you can also join us in the chat room, chats.techtalkradio.com.au. Gus says, come on, GC, I followed you on Twitter the other day. More tweets, please.
And that's exactly what he said afterwards as well.
I don't think he's quite got the gist of my Twitter feed as yet. There might actually be some tweets to come in the next few days. So
we'll look forward to that.
Look forward to that,
as you put this new, last week's gadget of the week through the hoops.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to hear more. I want to hear more about that. We've got lots of... Sorry, Lena.
I was just going to say, are you going to get AppNet?
App.net.
App.net. Yeah, I've signed up.
Ooh.
I had a new follower on app.net today. Feecan. Hi, Feecan. Ah. I think she's a listener to the show.
Hey, Fee. She is.
Yeah.
She is.
Anyone else found you on app.net?
I've got
recently?
About 15 or 18 followers or something, which is
good.
Many.
I haven't looked for
so
a
you
while.
Have to pay. This is Twitter, which costs you to subscribe to. It keeps all of the spammers away.
I've got 51 followers.
Cool.
And I'm following 39.
There's probably only about 60 people on it at the moment.
Yeah, so. I'm doing all right.
Yeah, you got 50% of the AppNet market. That's really good.
And if you don't follow me on Twitter and you're thinking maybe you might follow me on AppNet, I'm not as loud on AppNet as I am on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
So
really?
Yeah.
Say it isn't so.
Sounds like a good idea. So that people like me who couldn't stand the Twitter feed. Can,
yeah, exactly.
That's a good idea.
Isn't there an app yet which joins the two up saying you have to post once and
yes.
you can send them
no,
off
you
the boat?
You can do that in AppNet.
Yeah, I thought you might be.
You can. Sorry.
Which app is that one? That
you can be more verbose there. You get 200 odd characters
exactly.
there, don't you?
I'm spoiled.
Oh.
I use Netbot.
Netbot.
Yes, which is an iOS one. It's the Tapbot guys do it, so you know it's good. They do ConvertBot and TweetBot and a bunch of other really good apps. They're very slick, very good UI.
So what do I need, TweetBot or Netbot?
Netbot.
What's the difference?
Well, Netbot's for AppNet, TweetBot's for Twitter.
I need two clients. What's the use of that? I want one client that does it all.
Well, some people don't have both.
I do.
There's two apps.
You do?
You can cross-post between them.
Can you?
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
You could write one, Andrew.
You could.
I could in another life.
Your coding days aren't behind you just
no,
yet.
No, not yet.
I need to know what app.net client I need to install on my Android phone
Hoot.
Now that you guys have
Hoot.
Hoot. Is it
I think
Hoot?
It's Hoot. It's a little orange-red star thing. Ah. You've got a doctor on, haven't you?
I've got one called... It says on my desktop of my Android, hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha, that's it. Hoo-ha. I knew it was who of some sort. Hoo-ha.
That's a great one. H-O-O-O.
Little red star on the top of it. Is a red icon or something?
Yeah, it's good. Nice and sleek.
Makes you think of Al Pacino.
Does it?
Hoo-ha.
The face recognition recognised me with my headphones and my glasses on.
And behind a yellow windsock on a microphone.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Has app.net got facial recognition?
No, but my phone has.
Does.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. To the Coro. We hijacked.
Sorry, what segment are we in?
That's okay. We've got 2 hours.
Winding down to the end of the show.
Yeah. Get your website mod spot. Are we coming up
well,
after
saying
this?
We should do a reverse show. That'd be really funny.
How
wouldn't
do you spell
it?
Hoo-ha?
H-O-O-H-A.
Oh, I'm going to make a WAV out of that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It's already done.
It's my new message alert tone.
When Graham rings, it goes, hoo-ha, hoo-ha, hoo-ha.
Paul, via the TikTok Radio contact form,
hey, hello, Paul.
Says, hey guys, what annoys me the most about TV in Australia at the moment
oh, don't start us.
Is the way they use their HD channels.
Oh, here.
They don't use them.
They need to stop airing standard definition 4x3 content on these channels and start airing pure high definition 16x9 content.
No, you need to be burnt more. You need to, you know, that's what they're doing at the moment.
They need to make these channels aimed at the generic viewers rather than at specific audiences. Channel 9 is a good example when they launched Gem.
Channel 9 is not a good example of anything.
And promised to show the cricket in HD only for them to change their minds.
Yep.
When they stop annoying their viewers with this sort of carp, then they might have a better chance of attracting viewers. Cheers, Paul in Caboolture.
Very fishy business.
Andrew, you make television?
No, well, yeah.
Yes.
He does, but he doesn't want to wind up to it.
The stuff I make goes on that free-to-air stuff.
You make nice 16x9 high-definition content.
Oh, let me tell you about the quality of the stuff that leaves us.
It looks good when it leaves your office.
Yeah, I know. Then that's another reason why I can't watch free-to-air, because what they do to it. It gets down-rezzed.
You see it on TV.
It goes in a little black box and it comes out. It starts at 1980 by, you know, 1080 pixels, 1920 by 1080. Then it comes out the other end at, yeah.
You wonder why you've bothered.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I could have saved all that disk space.
And MPEG to Billy O with all nice sort of bands through the sky and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Have you noticed, too, I don't know whether you've been watching Channel 9, we watched the news tonight here in Melbourne.
Oh, did you?
And their digital breakup is phenomenal compared to all the rest of the stations. I don't know what they're doing, but you know how it stops and pixelates and comes back a few moments later and does the freezy bits?
When the fridge turns on and off.
We've got a new fridge. It only happens on that particular channel.
Okay.
The other channels are fine. So go figure.
Hmm.
Mm.
But you've got a reasonably good television that should be able to keep up with the
Sony.
Digital stream.
Yeah, but it's just Channel 9, whatever it is. But I've noticed that on a few sets too recently.
Tristan, via the contact form, says, "Hey, guys."
Hi, Tristan.
Hi.
"I'm very sad to hear you are finishing up. It's been a great few years for me to be able to hear your podcast each week." Thanks, Tristan. Aww. Thank you to everybody that's been writing in as well. We're getting lots and lots and lots of emails.
Yeah, we're over the April Fool's joke ones now.
Yeah, it is for real.
Yeah, it's not April.
No.
And Halloween is soon, but it's not for that either.
So thank you for all your kind emails and messages of support. It's greatly appreciated. Tristan goes on to say,
"Find us a sponsor, we'll hang around.
I have just heard your discussions on the latest issue in regards with the phones and their changes to contract.
Yeah.
It was mentioned to buy the phone outright to avoid the less data caps, etc. I've started doing this now just to stick it to Telstra. Oh, I'm completely sick of their extremely poor customer service and disregard for customers, and I've just bought the Galaxy Note 2 for my wife. I only had to wait a week after purchasing it from Kogan for an extremely good price. Got the phone, set it up, plugged in the correct APNs, and it was up and running beautifully. No bloatware, no automatically signed up voicemail, Dr. Ron, no other issues, and one extremely happy wife. Telstra are still yet to announce a release date for it, but I've heard it is 26 November. The battery life on this thing is super impressive. Dr. Ron, how's your HTC One XL for battery life?"
Tristan, how is
not,
it?
Not too bad. I get about 12 hours without a charge, just on normal use.
Yeah, when you come from a base of fairly low battery life, it's really quite refreshing, isn't it?
A breath of fresh air.
It's quite refreshing to have, it stays on all day.
Indeed.
Yes.
Interestingly, though, the One XL doesn't have a removable battery. It's like an iPhone. It's all sealed up. Doesn't have a cover you can take off to change the battery.
Is the shape of things to come, do you reckon, with these gadgets?
I think, I'm guessing so, yeah. I think it probably allows them to make it thinner and to sort of...
How quick does it charge?
It charges really quick,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I noticed they're all pretty good like that these days. So
it depends on what you plug it into. You've got to plug it into something that can supply the current.
So it gets hot.
It doesn't get too warm, no, but it does. Yeah, but it does take a full 1 amp out of a 1 amp supply.
Yeah, I must admit, I put my MacBook Pro power supply on the floor and I can use it as a feet warmer when I'm working hard.
It is normal for those power brick type ones. It is normal for them to run really hot. That's perfectly normal.
Yep.
My husband works at a university, and he's a Mac technician at that university. And he said you would be amazed how much they get those power bricks. Someone calling in to saying it's melting, and he says, "No, it's not." And they said, "No, it is. It's melting.
Physically
it's
melting.
Brown. It's melting." And he gets there, and they've forgotten to take the plastic wrapper off it.
Oh, yeah. No. You mean the white ones that come with from the fruit manufacturer, those ones, those little plastic things? Or?
No, it has like a clear sort of almost cellophane-y type wrap around it when you first take it out of the box for the very first time.
You have to look at it carefully to see it there. Otherwise, it is what it is. Yes.
He said it's quite the smell.
Ooh.
Emanating through the university.
Are you sure? No, sorry. With regards to Windows 8, I will stay with Windows 7 for now, but I'm looking at running a couple of systems on Ubuntu and may eventually switch all my systems to Ubuntu if Windows 8 is as poor as Vista. I love Windows 7, though, and probably won't switch from that in a long time. Most of our computers at work are already running Windows 7 too. Lastly, on a side note, will Adam continue to have a podcast of his own that we could follow, or will he finish up his podcasts along with Tech Talk? I enjoy his articles online and love listening to his views from the couch. Thanks, Tristan.
Oh, if he wants to shoot us a view, we can certainly put it in the feed. It's up to him.
We'll have to start lobbying Adam to do that, maybe.
You know what the chances are of that.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd love that.
Well, he's got to do something when he's sitting outside people's houses testing LTE networks at strange hours of the day and night with clipboards.
It's lucky he wasn't arrested.
Really?
Listen to last week's view.
Yes.
If you missed it. Phil, via email to the feedback address, says, "You're right, guys. I can't see anyone, particularly in a business realm, wanting Windows 8. It's clumsy and dangerous to productivity. Users need to relearn..."
Hang on. All computers are dangerous to productivity. Not just single out any one particular operating system.
The internet is dangerous to productivity.
Wilfing.
Those cats.
It's like today. I went online to get something and you open your web browser. Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack you, Dr. Ron.
Speaking of wilfing.
You open up your web browser and you go, click, bang. And then you read an article and you go, "Now, what did I come here for in the first place?"
Yes.
Back to you, Dr. Ron.
What was I looking for?
Wilfing.
Wilf? Users need to relearn how to use Windows, how to launch programs and get their head around whatever the hell Microsoft was thinking
with that start button
when they put together this Metro interface. No doubt, while sipping lattes. Gah! says Phil. Is that how you say that?
Gah!
Gah!
Windows 7 is now actively used in many businesses that I know of. They're moving in this direction away from XP.
Oh, yes.
Since support is finishing very soon and avoiding Vista like the technology plague it is.
Was.
Indeed. For those that aren't familiar with Linux, either Ubuntu or Fedora are much more desktop-focused than others, such as Debian or CentOS, Red Hat. I've seen a couple of businesses change over to Linux quite successfully in the last 6 months or so and not regretted the change.
Hmm.
They've experienced less downtime, documented an increase in productivity once the learning period is over, and have had zero security issues since the change. It's starting to look like a no-brainer unless you've got critical infrastructure that's Microsoft-based. I think that's check. Your move, Microsoft. Make it a good one. Cheers, Phil.
Yep.
Mm. So Phil, that's a major problem, I think, that Windows 8's finding is a lot of people are staying with Windows when they might want to go Apple or a Mac product because they're like, I can't be bothered learning something new. And it's like, well, you're going to have to learn something new anyway.
Yep.
They're going to lose a lot of people.
People are going to move to both. Some people are going to move to Mac. Some people are going to try out the Linuxes. Fedora can be a bit of an issue because of its really rapid release cycle. You have to make sure you do an upgrade every year. Otherwise, your stuff gets out of date and it doesn't get updated anymore. Ubuntu, you have a long-term support option. And the other one that people forget is CentOS, which is exactly identical to the paid Red Hat version, built from their same sources, and all they change is the branding. So, and that provides much longer support as well.
So why would you pay for it, Graeme, if you can download it and install it for free?
Particularly in a business application, you would pay for it in order to get support. That's what you pay for.
It's like
to get support.
A support subscription.
That's right. Yep. Okay. And a lot of businesses, it's vital to make sure that if something goes wrong, they've got someone they can call, and that's what you'd pay for. But you can certainly, if you try out CentOS, that's CentOS, the free version, you can run everything and see how it goes, and then if you just do a pilot without support, if you like, and then go and get support when you roll it out to your whole business.
You might find you've got enough technical nous to support it yourself.
Yeah, well, that's the other option you've got. Yeah, Primal says CentOS is lovely. definitely one not to forget when you're thinking of Linuxes. And I think with Linuxes in business, there's two different types of businesses. There's going to be the small business where you need to be able to run everything. And, you know, if you need to be able to run MYOB or one of those accounting packages or something like that, they're not going to have a version for Linux. You're going to need a Windows machine. But some businesses where you might be slightly larger business, where your staff are more specialised and you've got a lot of staff that are doing particular jobs, they might be running word processing or spreadsheeting, and that's their primary job, or desktop publishing, whatever. You can do all that in OpenOffice really well, and you don't need Windows for that. And it's 100% compatible with other people in other organisations using Microsoft or even elsewhere in your organisation. So it depends. Yeah, horses for courses.
I've used OpenOffice. It writes like ODT files, and
it can, but it can also write .docx files them. Yeah. So, yep. And it's pretty seamless and pretty nice to use these days. It's becoming a mature product.
The last time I used Ubuntu as a desktop operating system, I gave it a run for about a year.
Yeah,
as my main
machine. Yeah,
and I had a Windows machine beside me just in case I needed it.
Yeah,
and I was using 606 and 804. I think 804 was
the
last
one. Were the long-term support LTS editions of Ubuntu.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the 6 and the 8, that's 2006 and 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So I should load it up again and try it and see what it's like now. It's probably come a long way in a few years.
It's definitely becoming more mature, yeah.
Last but certainly not least, Gareth, via the contact form, says, "Hi, Tech Talk crew."
Hello, Gareth.
"I have a little rant about last week's otherwise top-notch show."
Oh, dear.
"Whilst you were discussing the issue of Microsoft's new operating system, Windows 8, we're getting a lot of feedback about the new Windows 8 and its uptake in enterprise. I made the comment in chat that most businesses are still running Windows XP over 10 years after it was released. So if the enterprise market doesn't take to Windows 8, it will have more to do with the fact that most companies are slow to upgrade rather than the new UI and the seemingly missing start menu. Tip, the whole screen
is more than just seemingly missing." Yeah, no, that's true. Yes, the whole screen is now the new start menu. Yeah, that's right. That's what Metro is about.
Do you think it's the take-up to new operating systems is daunting for a business in many respects?
Definitely.
One as a financial imposition, but secondly, as a new learning curve imposition?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And that even that applies going from a good operating system like Windows XP to a really good operating system like Windows 7. Businesses were very slow to move, and we're seeing a lot of businesses even now only just moving to Windows 7.
Are they being pushed or are they jumping because they're running out?
Well, no, people have realized that Windows 7 is really a great operating system, and the move is accelerating rapidly. People in their, you know, on their private machines realized that a while ago, and it's starting to filter through to business.
Do you reckon
Something like Windows 8 that adds not only have you got all those things that you normally have to contend with going to a good operating system, is that Windows 8 is going to make that just so much worse by making it so much more difficult to have to show all the users. You know, how do you start a program that hasn't got a shortcut on the desktop?
I admire their tenacity in pushing people into a new era, but I think the transition needs to be a little softer than what they've done.
Yeah.
I wonder if Windows 9 is going to have the start button come back. Maybe we should ask Tony Eastley from AM. He's seen it, apparently. That was very funny. Driving to work.
Oops. Well, I'm still wondering if Microsoft have got something in mind for what they're going to do for businesses, because clearly this Windows 8 is designed for sort of the low-end sort of average computer user who runs four different programs. I mean, in their reasoning for why they ditched the start menu was because they said, oh, people just pin all their programs they use to the start menu and launch them from there.
What's wrong with that?
It works fine if you only use three different programs. Yeah. If you only launch email and the web browser and Word, then
which is the majority of people in.
Well, that's what Microsoft said. But what if you you can install hundreds of programs on your machine. What if you're one of the people that needs to have that?
Oh, exactly.
So they're just making it. Yeah, they're making something that's great for the majority of people, but not for power users, not for people who are serious users.
Graham was quick to point out that he thought I was wrong. Well, Graham, I think this time you're wrong.
Uh-oh.
I work for a very large company.
That's the car park.
And a large part of my job is dealing with literally hundreds of small to medium-sized businesses. I can categorically state that not only does my company still live in the dark ages with XP, 99% of the business I deal with The businesses I deal with are still on XP. The reasons are many and varied, and most have to do with cost or software, but none of them have anything to do with the fact that the OS or the UI looks different.
Yeah, okay.
If you are going to use Enterprise as a measuring stick for the success of Windows 8, then you can call Windows XP a failure, as it took many companies over 5 years to migrate from Windows 98.
That it did.
And in some cases, 95. When I started my job in state government in 2004...
Windows XP was also completely useless...
Talking while I was interrupting.
Sorry. Windows XP was also completely useless until Service Pack 2 came out, too. Carry on.
When I started working in the state government in 2004, they were still using Windows 98.
Hang on. You've used work in state government in the same sentence.
I did.
Sorry.
When I was employed by the state government. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, they were using Windows 98.
Are they still using that?
No, XP now.
Okay. So in a work environment, quick survey, Dr. Ron, in your business environment...
Oh, Windows 7.
Do you have any XP devices?
Yeah, I still got an XP machine, which I keep there just occasionally.
And what do you use it for without getting into detail?
Not much.
Okay. Graham?
I work for myself and I run all my machines on Windows 7.
Okay, so you don't have any XP machines anymore?
Not of my own.
Okay. I do, at the office.
Customers do.
Yeah.
The customer, and I do IT support for my customers. That's my job. So, yeah, I'd say in my customers, it's probably about 50-50 now.
Okay. I'm not deliberately ignoring you, Lena. I just know what the answer is, so that's...
Do you?
I do.
Really?
We have...
Ask Lena. Ask Lena, please, Andrew, before she explodes here.
I'm not going to explode.
Lena, what about you? Do you have any XP machine?
Ask Andrew. I did have XP recently on my MacBook partition as my Windows partition.
Why?
Because Windows 7 was gross when it came out and I never went back. It was Fisher-Price and I didn't like it.
Fisher-Price?
It was Fisher-Price. Do you remember when Windows 7 first came out?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So what did you use XP for?
Gaming. So it was my Windows
partition.
So
you needed a Windows box to do some game evaluations and play a few games.
I had some games that were Windows only.
Yeah.
So I used my Windows
partition. Do you still use it today or not? Or you moved on?
No, I got rid of my partition because I wanted more hard drive space on my Mac. So, but now I have like a 700 gig
room to move.
Hard drive now, so I might partition again, but I won't go XP because it's not going to be supported anymore.
Well, out of all the machines in our office, we have one XP machine for no other reason than there is one particular company that offers software only on Windows XP. It will not run on Windows 7, especially the 64-bit machines, because all of the Windows 7 machines are 64-bit. Nothing in the Office 32, except I've got one XP 32-bit machine. Thanks, AdStream. But other than that, all good.
Thanks, AdStream. To sum up, Gareth says, change is good. Learning new things is fun.
It is.
But hey, if people really hate it, I hear they can drop $2,700 on a MacBook.
Hey.
So they don't have to use a Windows machine. Rant over. Love the show.
Rant over.
What's left of it.
Yeah.
Cheers, Gareth. P.S. Off to watch my Apple TV and wait for my iPad mini pre-order.
Yeah. Biting the hand that feeds, by the sound.
That's the correspondence, Andrew.
Is it?
You can communicate with us if you wish. You have approximately 5 episodes left. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au.
Oh, dear. Yes. Well, yeah. How many episodes? 5.
5 after this
one. Are you counting? Are you counting?
No. Someone has to. Otherwise, we won't know when the last one is.
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Let's reverse engineer the show this week. Let's talk about the iPad mini. Da-da-da-da. Mm. Sorry, there isn't a rundown, Dr. Ron. You don't have to pick up your notes or anything like that. The iPad mini was launched to all the Jews. Lena, you didn't think it was going to come. You thought it was vaporware. Probably up until when?
No. I didn't not think it was going to come. Personally, I didn't see a need for it, so I was like, whatevs. But what I was saying was we didn't know it was coming, so we should all shut up until we know it's coming. Now we can talk about it.
Okay.
Because there's been a keynote and they've told us about it. No.
It comes out, I think, first week of next month, which is early November, if you're listening to Cinepod.
I use my iPad for mainly gaming, so I need that extra real estate space on my screen.
And then the iPad 4 came out too. That snuck under the radar. Dr. Ron, you were even saying tonight that you were surprised.
I was writing the news on the weekend and I was getting confused because some people were talking about a particular type of processor and like the A5 processor and some people were talking about an A6X processor and I thought,
what the hell's going on here?
Right?
Yeah.
What? There's another iPad? How long's this been going on? I completely missed it during the week with all the news about the iPad mini. I did not know that there was a fourth generation iPad.
It snuck under the radar a bit, didn't it?
It had also been released, yeah. And there were other products as well, Lena. There was
new Mac Minis.
New Mac Minis.
New MacBook Pros. New MacBooks and new iMacs. The new iMacs looked amazing.
I like the look of the new iMac.
5 millimeters thick on the side. And if you've seen the older iMacs, you know that that's insanely different. The old iMacs are, 2 inches thick?
Maybe not quite that much.
Well, mine is.
old's yours?
I got a 2007, I think. But if you put those two beasts next to each other, whew.
Why does it matter how thick an iMac is? That's sitting on your desk. It's not.
It's very pretty. You don't have to carry it around with you. My desk and my studio are very pretty, and I like pretty things on my desk.
Does that answer your question, Graham? Yep.
In the worst possible way.
All right. Yes. Now the new. The new.
Where do you put the DVDs into it? How can it, if it's only that thick?
Graham.
Where do you slot the DVD in
the
side?
They go in the side.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is science.
Science.
Yes.
Yeah.
Science.
And technology.
Apple have done some very interesting things in the time, and this one's no exception. Like with the, if you want to put RAM into machines, like the MacBook Pros and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're really trying to encourage users to go down the line of pre-ordering, with Apple RAM and doing all that
and
sort of stuff.
It's very expensive, Apple RAM.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is.
Which means that they're actually closing up the ability to order the cheap one and then upgrade it yourself down the track.
You can't open up the side and all.
Not on some of the new ones,
Put the extra memory in.
No, and this new new iMac's about the same sort of thing. Unless you get the really big one, the 27-inch one, then you have a little slot on the back where you can get in there and start tinkering and playing. But if you get the smaller versions, she's a sealed box, my friends. Nothing else to be tinkered with.
The Mac Minis, though, are opened up. The new Mac Minis, you can spin off a little circle and get into it.
What are they worth, little Mac Minis?
I can't remember. Let's have a look. I miss my Mac Mini. I used to have a Mac Mini, and I sold it, and I regret selling it because they make wonderful little servers.
I can imagine.
Yeah, fantastic little machine. You can stack them.
Yeah.
Great. Let's have a look. I went straight to iPad Mini. No.
Anyway, the new iMac, very, very thin, as you were sort of saying, and it's going to come in a few flavours. But the ability to pop the screws off the back and add more RAM to the 21.5-inch model is gone. Mm. It starts off at 8 gig of RAM, but if you're a Photoshopper or you're a TV editor or something like that, chances are you're going to need a little bit of extra headroom there in respect to RAM and the like. So maybe the pre-order the one with the big one, a lot of RAM.
Woo.
Or go from there. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, the Mac Minis start at $599.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's were they a bit cheaper than that in the previous life?
I think I paid around $400.
Yeah,
probably $400 to $500 when it first came out. I got one of the first ones. And, I really liked it.
So why did you sell it?
I sold it out of necessity. I think I needed the money more than an opportunity came up to get an iMac.
Yeah.
And I was using the Mac Mini as my desktop machine. And so I thought, well, I'll get the iMac because it's got the machine and the screen in one.
Yep.
And that way I could sell my display and sell my Mac Mini and get something pretty cool. So, yeah.
All right. Well,
that was a while ago now, though.
iPad Mini.
Yeah.
Is out. Adam has a view from the couch. So before we steal any of his thunder, we might just go off and...
A good time to roll it in.
Roll it in and check out the view for this week.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
Apple's little Android killer has a lot going for it, but it may have missed the mark. The predictions about the 7.9-inch iPad mini were pretty much spot on. Perhaps the biggest surprise is that there were no surprises, no impressive extra feature or frustrating limitation to help the iPad mini stand apart from its big brother. It seems like we now have a clear choice between iPad models based purely on screen and price. I really thought Apple would pitch the mini as a companion to the iPad rather than as an alternative. A lounge room companion, possibly tied to the Apple TV or even the mythical Apple television, seemed like a likely option. But the iPad mini is simply a mini iPad. No more, no less. So you can only wonder if Steve Jobs' infamous reality distortion field would have painted a different picture of the iPad mini. I could see Jobs getting up there and establishing its place in the ecosystem alongside the other products, while somehow justifying the backflip after badmouthing smaller tablets for so long. Apple's one-size-fits approach to iGadgets has been the cornerstone of its success for many years. But it wasn't always that way. Last week, the original iPod turned 11 years old, the device which reinvented the company. The first three iPod models captured Apple about a third of the portable music player market. But after 2 years, Apple broke with convention and unveiled a competing model, the iPod Mini. It was smaller, lighter, and cheaper than the iPod Classic, but in return, you sacrificed significant storage space. Apple acknowledged that the iPod Classic, as we now call it, wasn't suited to all occasions and perhaps not to all budgets. Punters obviously agreed, as by the end of that year, Apple now claimed two-thirds of the portable music player market. A year later saw the iPod Shuffle and an even smaller iPod again to cater for music lovers on the go. It took the iPad a little longer, but it's finally reached that same junction. 2.5 years and three models after the first iPad hit the shelves, Apple has unveiled the iPad Mini to sit alongside it. The Mini features a 7.9-inch display with the same 1024x768 pixel resolution screen and dual-core A5 processor found in the iPad 2. Apart from that, it's essentially a smaller version of the iPad 4, which was released last week as well. Both the new iPad 4 and the iPad Mini offer the choice of 3G, 4G or Wi-Fi only models at several storage capacities. Thankfully, these devices now support Australia's LTE networks. Both devices also feature the new smaller Lightning connector, an important boost for the fledgling Lightning ecosystem. The iPod Mini came as Apple's share of the music player market was growing, but the iPad Mini comes as Apple's share of the tablet market is shrinking. Apple hasn't painted any special place for the iPad Mini in your life. At $369, its primary function seems to be as a grenade thrown in among the smaller and cheaper Android competitors, such as the Nexus 7 and the Kindle Fire. Personally, I think Apple missed the mark here by about $70. In Australia, $300 is considered that magic cash and carry mark for retailers. Once home entertainment gear such as VCRs and DVD players fell under $300, they became almost impulse buys. If the iPad Mini could sneak down to $299, it would take a major bite out of Android's market share,
but at $369 and with no chance of retailers discounting it, the iPad Mini needs to work a lot harder to justify itself. No matter how much of a one-eyed Apple supporter you are, you have to concede that the iPad Mini is a direct response to the Android threat, which has been eating away at Apple's market share. Unfortunately, you might say that Apple has played right into Android's hands by moving the fight into the budget tablet arena where Android is at home. Apple is now fighting by Android's rules. With nothing but size and price to distinguish it from the new iPad 4, the iPad Mini may well cannibalize iPad sales more than it hurts Android. Apple had the chance to deliver a killer blow to the Android menace, but I think it fell short of the mark. I know Apple aims to offer premium products, but that strategy is starting to flail against the Android threat. Perhaps Apple should have stripped out a few more features from the iPad Mini and dropped the price by another $100 to position it as a serious Android competitor and inflict some serious pain on the Android ecosystem. Instead, Apple's really delivered an iPad competitor, which could do as much harm as good. The Apple faithful may be happy, but it's probably not enough to stop the Android army.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
An Android army, really? Little green men coming down the hallway to get you at night.
Better I'm not believe scared.
It. Do you reckon $369 is a bit pricey, or would obviously everyone's going think about it? Under $300, maybe. Has Adam got a point?
Well, any cheaper, and they'd never sell an iPod Touch again.
True. Yes.
That's what I was saying,
and that's what someone said in our chat too.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago. I was concerned about how they would price it because it is tricky because there wasn't much of a gap between the two products that were already there. So, which was the iPod Touch and the iPad. There wasn't a lot of wiggle room in there. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be people either want an iPad or they want an iPad Mini and they decide which one does the best job for them. I think they'll be seen as that. But you'll get the odd teenager saying, I don't want an iPod Touch anymore, I want an iPad Mini.
Yeah,
but
they're not the same thing, though.
They're not,
you can't
yeah.
put an iPad Mini in your back pocket.
And you can't put it in your school bag as easily and, you know, in the side pocket of your school bag. And
But if you asked any young person and said, would you want a music device or an iPad? I know what they choose.
But iPod Touches are not music devices.
No, they're not.
They've not been for a long time. I don't know. I think there's just different things for different solutions for different problems.
Now, if you want...
I haven't watched the whole of the launch event online, I must admit.
I have.
You're probably not the
one. It popped up on my Apple TV.
You can probably answer my question.
Yes, yes. They said it was going to.
Yeah.
Were you awake for it when it happened?
No.
It happened in the wee small hours, Graham.
Yeah. The one thing that surprises me in the way that Apple have handled this is that, as far as I can tell, from what I have seen, they didn't really make a big point of differentiating it from the larger iPads, you know, of explaining why you need an iPad Mini as well as an iPad. It's sort of the way Apple traditionally launch a device and then explain exactly why you must have this device. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't something. Well, you need your iPad to do this. But when you want to do that, then the right device for the job is the Mini.
Probably because the answer is really boring and short, and that is it's the same, just smaller.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I mean.
They're not going to come out and say it does exactly what your iPad does, but smaller. This is for the people who don't want to carry the big iPad.
In the past, Apple would have found a way. They would have put one feature in the Mini and a different feature in the iPad and said... Yeah, you know, these are two different devices that do two different jobs, and this is why you need one, and not this is why you need to own both.
How would you feel?
No,
an example? Can you think of an example of when they've done that?
When they brought out the iPad and differentiated it so well from the iPhone.
One has a phone in it. One
yeah,
doesn't.
But
I don't know what you're basing it on because I think it was pretty much. Keynote standard as far as Apple stuff goes.
It was.
They did share the load a bit, which was interesting.
The load or the love?
The load and the load love. And the love. they had
in terms of having different presenters.
And, yeah, they had Tim Cook and they had I've forgotten his name now.
He didn't use that four letter word, did he? Maps.
No, no, he didn't. It was cute, though. They
Mr.
unveiled.
Schiller?
Yes.
Phil Schiller?
Yes. Yeah. it was. They had the Mac Minis first, and they said, you knew we were going to be talking about something mini today. And everyone went, ooh.
Yeah, as they do.
In the crowd.
Zealot.
Yeah. I don't. You know something that really bugs me about these keynotes and
do you want a drink? Oh, I'm just going to pop out of the water cooler. And
when people hoot and holler and whoop and clap, you're journalists. You're supposed to sit there and go, mm-hmm.
You should be stony-faced and serious and objective.
Yeah, but that's
you
why
should.
these large organisations pay journalists to go there because they feel that if we pay them to be here, then they'll owe us something.
You get it a lot at games.
It's like checkbook journalism in a lot of respects, isn't it?
You get it a lot at game stuff like E3 as well when you get these journalists hooping and hollering over blood spatter and stuff and you go, guys, this is a bit gross. Everyone sit down and go, yeah, and, you know, you should be really hard to please at these things.
The exciting thing is that we've now got tablets that will work in Australia on 4G LTE.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Which we didn't have in the third generation iPad.
Now, speaking of third generation iPads.
Yeah, and I want to know, can I change mine over?
How dark are you if you bought an iPad 3?
Hello, yes.
Well, in the mainstream press, it's been confirmed that the iPad 3 tablets bought within the last 30 days will be able to be traded in for a new iPad 4, complete with a more powerful processor, etc., etc.
Oh, 30 days. Now, I bought mine at the end of June.
Now, yes. So, this is what Apple have done. They've extended the warranty period, or the whatever that period is. In auctioneering terms, I think it's the cooling off period.
The cooling off period.
up to 30 days. Now, rumour has it, and it's unsubstantiated, but it's what I've been reading in the press, that if you go and ask them, they will... some in North America in particular and some in Europe have been gone the 90-day option. So, if you can say, but seriously, you know, do the right thing.
So, up to 90 days.
Yeah, get antsy with them. Just be nice about it and chances are you might strike out saying it's not fair, I bought mine, and they might swap it over for you. But 30 days, definitely. And that's been as reported in, I'm reading one of the reviews here now, one of the new services. So, there you go. iPad 3s can be swapped for an iPad 4 if it's less than 30 days old. Nice. To a degree. Not so nice if you've got 31 days.
Well, I'm happy with my third generation iPad. I don't think I need a fourth gen, and I don't think I need an iPad mini.
And that's exactly what a lot of people say. Like, I've been reading a few comments in blogs that one guy said, I bought an iPad to do this job and it does it fine, so I don't have a problem with it. So, each to their own, I guess.
What are the points of difference with the iPad 4? Lena's about to hit me. The fourth generation iPad as opposed to the third generation iPad.
Faster? Different processor.
Better display?
Retina.
Retina display.
Yep.
A6X chip.
Yeah. Faster processor.
That's probably about it. Oh, and it's got the new plug on the bottom of it.
Oh, okay.
But it made improvements to the camera and the facial recognition stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well,
little,
I think.
Little tweaks.
Little tweaks.
Little tweaks.
Yeah. Yep.
Little tweaks. So, there you go. My Mac's just crashed, just for something completely different. Come back. Oh, there it is, back
in. An iPad mini.
That's not a crash. Yeah. That's you being impatient.
It's a momentary lockup.
I'll show you a kernel panic.
User interface
this.
Was momentarily unresponsive.
If you want to see a really... Yeah, that's your technician coming out there.
Didn't hit it.
If you want to see
I had a user today. He says, oh, my machine's locked up. I can't do anything. And... it was just sitting there waiting for something to download on a web page. Every other app was running. Windows was running. You could click on things on the start bar.
Patience, pet. Patience.
Buy more RAM.
It wasn't even that. It was just something that hadn't loaded on the page he was viewing. Okay. The machine was running beautifully.
All right, so there you go. iPad mini, iPad all round. Windows, we've touched on Windows this evening. How Windows is going to pan out, all jokes aside and the likes, it's certainly going to be... Well, it's seeming at first glance that it's going to be a bit of an uphill push for poor old Microsoft this time around. Will it turn out to be another Vista? Only time will tell, but I think time will tell sooner than later.
We were so underwhelmed by it this time last week. Everyone was saying, what? There's a launch coming up.
Everyone
really?
Missed it.
No, surely
everybody,
not.
Well, when I say everyone missed it, it wasn't to the normal launch fanfare that you get for other hardware or software devices that have popped onto the scene in recent times. So.
No, it was not at all. Not
did
at all
they, did they sell out within half an hour of Surface tablets, or have they not even...
No, I think you can pop down
yet.
To a Yellow Goods store and get one right now if you wanted to, Graham.
Runs Windows Retweet. That's the new operating system.
Windows Retweet.
Yeah, it's the name of it.
Oh. Have you seen
Windows RT?
People.
Oh yes, good.
Have you been seeing on Twitter? People have been tweeting about Windows 8, but being sarcastic, saying, "I can't wait for Windows 8," and then the Windows has been tweeting back to them, oh, we're so excited. We're glad you're excited too.
Oh, they're trolling Microsoft.
Gotcha.
And Microsoft being clueless that they're being trolled.
Yep. It's painful. It's like a car crash.
Is that a bit sort of like this? I mean, Microsoft being Rickrolled?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Or maybe Microsoft Rickrolled everyone with Windows 8 and now they're getting it back.
We talked to you a bit more. This is Tony, Rick Astley was good, was he?
I've got hold of those connectors, Andrew.
Oh, sorry. Gone. There you go. Done.
I can disconnect that machine.
Dear. All right. So, yeah, that's funny, actually. The tweeting and carrying on and all that sort of stuff. Was there any journalists in amongst those tweeting shenanigans?
No.
No?
Not that I saw.
Okay.
But there might have been.
All right. Gareth says that Surface has sold out in Australia.
Really?
Like they probably only imported 3.
Yeah. Off a low base, as they say in the classic.
Bigger screen than the iPad mini.
Well, depends. Yes, you're right. It's bigger than 7.5 inches. Hey, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, other things happen during the course of the week. We'll talk about that. We're going to find out what happened to GCAP.
Mm.
That'll be exciting. And, yeah, all sorts of other things too in the tech world. So, back with more after this.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Confirmed new iPad mini to debut in October.
That sounds a bit winfo.
Yes, this is good news.
You shouldn't be able to patent things that are either obvious or natural progressions from things that already exist.
Maybe it can loop through.
The red is Office, the green is Xbox.
It's going to make life harder rather than easier.
Well, now you've railroaded me.
Sorry.
On its face.
Whoa.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Just in case you missed something, want to hear a discussion again, or even if you wanted to indulge in the Tech Talk Radio extended mix, then subscribe to the Tech Talk Radio podcast. You'll find a link on the website, techtalkradio.com.au, or subscribe on iTunes. You can also have a repeat of the current show streamed live to your device by visiting stitcher.com or by visiting the Tech Talk Radio small screen site, m.techtalkradio.com.au. Tech Talk Radio, it's everywhere you need it.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Kim.com is back. Do you remember him?
Who?
That,
he's late of New Zealand.
He's late. He's late.
Oh, dear.
He's that person you see on the radio, on television newspapers and stuff. He's been through the ringer with the local police and Mega Upload and all that. Anyway, he's alleged online piracy kingpin and alleged musician, Kim.com.
Alleged musician.
he's back in business.
Aren't they all?
The controversial and larger-than-life figure who was arrested and charged with racketeering, copyright infringement and money laundering. It's minor charges in this day and age of the online world, isn't it? Has announced the launch of his brand new version of Mega Upload. And in typical fashion, .com will launch the website a year after the police raided his mansion on January the 20th. The founder previously vowed that the Mega Upload service would return, and in true style of what he does, it has.
It has. How wonderful.
Yeah. But anyway, so you can't keep a good crook down, can you, these days?
Alleged.
Alleged. Sorry. Thank you, Dr. Ron.
That's all right.
Alleged. So, in other news that happened during the course of the week, the manufacturer, the Korean Taiwanese-based manufacturer, HTC.
Oh, yes. Who make the fabulous 1XL smartphone. Yes.
They were riding the gravy train back in the middle of 2011, and unfortunately, competition being the way it is with all the other manufacturers at the moment, they're, like a lot of hardware manufacturers, finding it a bit of a struggle. And their net profits tumbled 79% in 12 months down to $133 million, making quarter three its least profitable after 6 years. I wonder if that's all iGadgets. Well, it would be all the iGadgets. It would be all other manufacturers getting in there and giving them a run for their money.
Samsung would be on their radar.
Oh, absolutely. But I had a HTC for the Desire for many years, and it has served me well. And you guys have too.
Yeah.
And it served you well. So much so that
right up to the point where it broke.
you've kept the same manufacturer and you've got the new one.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
There you go. So HTC, yeah. I wouldn't want to be a manufacturer out there, especially with it's a very dog-eat-dog market at the moment. So suffice to say, there's a bit of a shortage in the world of bits and pieces. One of those bits and pieces is the touchscreens that are on all these new Surface devices and stuff like that.
Oh, here we go, yeah.
Here we go. So, and that's half the reason why we're having problems getting our iGadgets. And
that's nothing to do why we're having problems. That's because Apple engineer a shortage to make.
Oh, they do that as well.
To make a good news story. Yeah they do that as well, don't they?
Anyway, according from a report from a mob called DigiTimes, the recent release by tablets of Apple, Microsoft, Samsung has as well as recent explosion in a chemical plant in Japan.
Oh dear.
Has left the entire tech industry short of upstream thin film touch type materials, which you go into those things. Now, having said that, I think
just at the point where everyone ought to be releasing the brand new laptops and netbooks and things all with touchscreens.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
And if I remember, I can't think of what I was going to say. Mental blank. But yeah, that touch...
Andrew can't remember what we need to remember.
No, that's right. So, anyway, there you go. The touchscreens are a bit of a... on the draw. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Samsung make Apple's touchscreens, if I'm not mistaken. And they can't get the bits for their own phone, so having been through the court, why would you do that for a...
The entire electronics industry has always been like that, though. There's always been one or two manufacturers of things like memory and screens. And in the old days, there used to be CRTs. There was always sort of one or two factories that made them, and everybody used each other's at that level. There's nothing at all to do with the branding down the track when that's marketed as a consumer device.
Mm. In other news, lobbying is a very virulent form of, being part of business these days. You lobby all
virulent.
Sorts. Yes. Get out there and you lobby politicians, you lobby governments, you lobby companies and do all that sort of stuff. And Google is no exception. They've joined the ranks of AT&T and General Electric's in the illustrious ranks of America's top lobbyists.
Doesn't surprise me in the least.
All Things Digital reported that Google this week had spent $4.18 million on lobbying expenses in the third quarter of 2012, bringing its total lobbying expenses on the year to date to around $13.13 million. That's a lot of lobbying.
Well, America, of course, rushing headlong into a presidential election at the moment, so...
Yeah.
We're 4 or 5 people across the country turn out to vote for who is going to be president for the next 4 years.
Yes.
So, well, what remains of America anyway after storms?
Well, that's, Hurricane Sandy.
Yes.
As we go to air, there were 24 hours out, I think, of Hurricane Sandy making landfall around, just south of New York.
Not exactly sure quite where it's going to, but somewhere on that East Coast area,
What's the next state down? Is it Dakota?
Jersey.
Where?
Jersey is going to hit.
Jersey. Oh,
is it?
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's been updated lately.
New Jersey.
Bit of a perfect storm happening here, not wanting to put the moz on anything, but I think the American film industry has probably whipped everyone into a frenzy over what they might about to expect. But
we hope it peters out very quickly and there's minimal damage.
We do.
It's a very, very large system, so even if the centre of it is in New Jersey or somewhere around there, it's going to have effects from way north of New York to way south of Washington.
Well, there are a whole heap of storm fronts. They're saying it's going to be 1,000 kilometres long or something like that. That's a big storm.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Many different fronts.
Despite me making a lot of it a minute ago, our thoughts are with those people in that part of the US.
And with Google.
And with Google.
They had to cancel their event.
Did they?
Yes. The Google's big Android event was going to be held on Monday in New York City and supposed to be...
I'm not going
to
cry too many tears about Google missing an event.
Graham. Anyway, it's been washed out officially by Hurricane Sandy, so it'll obviously be rescheduled down the track. So, and they were going to... Yes, new phones and the likes.
Right.
Now, Graham had a major announcement after the break.
Oh, he did too,
and we're after the break now.
We forgot about the announcement.
And I want to know what the major announcement is.
Really?
Yes, the major announcement from Graham is that...
Ooh.
Seriously? In support of men's health issues, in particular Beyond Blue and the Prostate Cancer Foundation, I have decided to participate in Movember.
Oh.
You haven't got a mo. Does that mean you have to grow one?
That's right. You have the rules are that you have to start with a clean shaven face.
Oh, is it? I thought if you had one, you take it off. But if you haven't got one, you've got to put it on.
Well, you've got to start on the 1st of November without one. So that's the rules.
Okay. Dr. Ron, you were involved in this. You've done this on numerous occasions, haven't you?
I have. I did it a couple of years ago and you advertised kept it on Tech Talk. And we raised a lot of money, the Tech Talk listeners. So they should give themselves a pat on the back. And they
should support
this time
around, it's Graham's turn.
Yes. So hopefully some Tech Talk listeners who are thinking about men's health issues, and in the technology world, most people are men. There's a lot of women in technology, but an awful lot more men, and awful lot of women in technology who have men as
I could grow
partners,
a mow if I put my mind to it.
I'm sure you could do anything if you put your mind to it. I'd quite like to see you with a mow.
You can grow things a lot better than what us blokes can.
You're growing a whole person.
Yeah. Take that.
So,
all the best with your mustache, Graham.
Thank you very much.
Lena, Lena's creating a human life.
I'm making people person.
So
it was a joint effort, wasn't it?
Partially, but I'm doing the most of the work.
Partially,
now.
Which part? No, let's not go there.
Yes.
Graham, how do we support you? What do we do?
Well, it's really simple. You go to mobro.co.
What? Where?
Mobro.
Shut up. You're making it awkward. Like, mobro.co/GCTTR. mobro.co/GCTTR. And hopefully people can donate. So it doesn't go, just to be perfectly clear, the money doesn't go to me. It goes to the Movember people who send
look,
it on
you.
To. It's me on the, yep, there's me on that webpage there.
With a clean shaven face.
With no mo, that's the stage.
We get before and after pictures on the web, do we?
Well, you get a before picture. We'd yet to be seen about the after picture. So we'll see what we can do along the way.
We could Photoshop a mean one in there.
Yeah.
The rural juror.
The rural juror.
So,
Do you want to explain that American sitcom that you're talking about there? It's a very good 30 Rock.
30 Rock.
Yeah.
30 Rock.
Rural juror.
Rural juror.
Someone's in a movie and she doesn't know what the movie's called because she just keeps saying the rural juror.
The rural juror.
And she's like, what is that word?
The
and
rural
it's
juror.
The rural juror.
Yeah.
The
30
rural
Rock.
Juror.
Great show.
Yep.
Back to you, Graham.
Thank you.
I just had to explain the noise. That's all. And you've got a great course here. You're going to grow it.
I wish you could have just ended the noise instead of explaining it. That's all.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Well, I have ended it.
The great cause is really Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia. And in particular, this is my favourite, Beyond Blue, who deal with depression and mental health in men in Australia, which is a really, really big issue. And definitely one that is worthy. Both these organisations are really worthy of a lot of support. And if you go to mobro.co/GCTTR and you can click the donate button there, you can be anonymous if you want to. And so let's see if we can raise some money over the course of the next month during Movember.
Fantastic. Good course. Mm. Thanks, Graham. Well done for doing that.
Thank you for letting me announce it on the show, Andrew.
Oh, yeah, okay. Moving right along.
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
Time to find out about GCAP. What'd you do?
I sat in a chair for a really long time.
Oh, that would have been uncomfortable in your current state.
No, I had pregnant solidarity with one of the speakers. She was 23 weeks pregnant. She was up there and she spoke for 2.5 hours.
Oh, Mutual Admiration Society,
job.
Was it?
Yep. And yeah. I gave her a signal and I said, if you want me to ask a really long question and filibuster so you can run to the loo and then come back.
Ah, solidarity,
then I can ask
sister.
A really long question. Yeah. She said, I might take you up on that. No, it was good. It was mainly for game makers more than gamers. So there's not any little
tidbits.
And what
were they discussing? The new technology that was coming out, delivery methods, platforms and stuff like that? Were they bitching about certain things not happening or what was the deal?
No, it's sort of talking about the changes in our industry lately, like how we're moving a bit more towards the film model than the way we used to do things. So
that's good because the film model doesn't exist at the moment.
Well, you know, we're a little bit behind.
No, gaming's out in front.
We used to have big game studios who would hire, you know, whole year levels of students, of game dev students at a time. And then once they'd released their game, they struggled to maintain all those staff. So you saw lots of studios going under and all that kind of thing. So we've lost a lot of our major studios.
Boo.
Yeah, unfortunately, due to that. But now we're seeing a lot more freelancing and a lot more smaller, much, much, much smaller teams, which is kind of cool because you can be more agile and you don't have to worry about taking on only projects that will pay all the people who work for you. You can take on projects that are actually, you know, good.
So, worthwhile.
Yeah, worthwhile.
I could just hear a job interview with you. Yeah. Are you good?
Are you good yeah. and stuff? So, yeah, that was something that was good. And it's nice to see we had a lot of American keynote speakers coming out. We had Robin Huneke, Leslie Matheson and Chris Avalone coming out to speak to us all who it's really interesting seeing the Americans start to acknowledge this freelancer model because we've had it that way for a while in Australia now. Because we did have all those studios closed down, but in America, they've still got a lot of big studios and they're starting to see the benefits of a small team that's agile and all that. So there was a fair bit of talk about that, which was good.
You were hosting the discussion with Robin Huneke, weren't you?
I was.
It was exciting.
It was really fun. Acme did on Wednesday after GCAP. So GCAP was Monday and Tuesday. Acme had an evening with Robin Huneke on the Wednesday and I was hosting it with her or chairing it or asking her interviewing questions. I don't know. I don't know how you word it.
Very exciting.
But yeah, we were talking about Journey. She was the producer on Journey, which is one of my favourite games of all time.
Journey?
Yeah.
Did you say Journey?
I said Journey. Have you been playing Journey?
I've been playing Journey.
What's Journey?
Journey is a PlayStation 3 downloadable title by that game company who also made Flower and Flow. And they made Journey, and it's amazing.
I played Flower at the Game Masters.
Ah, good.
And played a bit of Journey as well.
Yep.
And you can play it for...
Do you play it at home on the PS3 now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you downloaded it. How much does it cost?
I think it's about... Oh, don't quote me. I think it's about $20 or $30 or something like that.
I think I paid $19 when I bought it.
And judging by your accolades, it's worth the money.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
What do you do?
It's really good.
And is it suitable for all ages?
At the moment, it's suitable for all ages. Yeah, you play it for a short period of time to get a feel for the game. And if you like it, you get to a certain checkpoint and then it refers you over to the store and you can pay for it if you want to continue playing.
You can do a demo.
So you get a bit of a trial before you buy.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. You're a figure. You're a person who is cloaked and walking through a desert.
Mm. Sounds intriguing, Dr. Ron.
You're walking towards a mountain off in the distance where the sun is, sun setting over the mountain.
Mm. Does it play desert music? As you walk across
plays
the desert,
very,
cloaked.
Very lovely music, actually. The soundtrack's amazing.
Mm.
It's very,
I'll have to stoke the PS3 up and have a bit of a look.
Yeah, it's good. It's not... If you want Shooty Bang, Son of Shooty Bang, or Shooty Bang 2, it's not for you. It's definitely what
or
some...
Or Alien versus Shooty Bang.
Yeah, Alien versus Shooty Bang. It's not for you. But if you want something that some people condescendingly call an art game, which all games are art games, so sure...
Why did you use the word condescendingly there?
Because it's very condescending to say something's an art game.
Oh.
All games are art. Thank you very much.
I would have thought.
That game company like to make games that instill a certain feeling in the player. So the feelings that you're feeling in Journey are supposed to be awe and feeling really small in a big world. Two things which it does really, really well. But it's all about this little journey. It's not a very long game. It's about 4 hours long. It's really hard to describe, as Phoenix in the chat is saying. It's hard to describe, but something that needs to be experienced.
Mm.
It's a very emotional experience because they do have that priority on making you feel stuff, which is nice, as opposed to just shoot stuff.
What do you do? You don't just wander around, do you?
No, you wander at the start, but you end up flying. So you need to learn how to get more movement in the game, and you get a certain amount of movement, and then threats start coming along to hamper your movement. And it's all about how you handle with that. The game takes a bit of a turn in a darker direction. I wouldn't say it's not suitable for kids, but I wouldn't put your 4-year-old in front of it. There's a certain bit where there's a statue that could be a bit scary to smaller kids.
Yeah, but you come across cities and structures and buildings that are half buried in the desert sand,
mm.
and you have to sort of explore them and open them up and walk through them and climb them.
Sounds like a lot of hard work.
It's not. It's beautiful. Because the whole time you're being made to feel awe and like you're small in a big space.
Is it just a one single player game or is it something you can explore with a partner, a friend?
The fun thing about Journey is it's done something really different. You can play single player, you can play through all by yourself, or you can play online, but you never know who you're playing with.
I had somebody else running along beside me for 5 minutes the other day.
You can do the whole journey with
really?
Someone.
Mm, spooky.
And you don't know their name, you don't know anything about them, you don't know how to find them, but you... you can't grief or make anything horrible for people in this game. So it turns out to be a really moving experience because you're going through this journey with someone else. It's very sweet. Very, very sweet.
Mm.
But you should play it. And if you want to see the interview, Acme recorded it and it should be on the Acme website soon. So keep your eyes peeled there because she was really great talking about feels and,
yeah.
and
yeah,
sorts
absolutely.
Of things. So that was really fun. She was really great to talk to. The other thing that came out of GCAP was PAX Australia was announced for Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
In 2013 and 2014.
Oh, I read about this somewhere.
Yeah, that's the Penny Arcade Expo. That's by Jerry and Mike, who do the Penny Arcade webcomic. They hold festivals in Seattle and Boston.
They're really big, aren't they?
They're huge, huge festivals. And they said they started it up because they wanted an expo that covered console gamers, computer gamers, and tabletop gamers equally.
Right.
So they get a lot of people excited because of that. Yeah, yeah. They're nothing if not ambitious, I'll tell you that. So that's been announced for being in Melbourne for 2013 and 2014, PAX Australia.
At the showground.
In our chat room says there's something I might be coming to Melbourne for.
Yeah.
PAX.
If you are interested in coming and you would go for the 3-day pass, I recommend you get on that soon because 75% of them are gone already.
Wow. Yeah. That's big demand, isn't it?
How many are they selling, do we know?
I don't know the numbers of how much they've got on offer. But it's for July next year, so.
But they're holding it at the showgrounds, aren't they? Is it?
I'm not sure. I think it is. Yeah, I think it is at the showgrounds.
So that's a fairly big space with a number of different venues. So yeah. It's not like they're only going to sell 27 tickets or something.
No, it's going to be
it's
big.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be really big. Yeah, Boston and Seattle are huge. So, yeah, that's very exciting. That coming down to little old Melbourne. Melbourne's a hive.
Phoenix is off to get his tickets.
Moment. Oh, good. but I've got some news that happened while I was gone as well.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, but first.
Before the news, there's other news.
Minecraft.
Oh, that's it, Graham. It's time to go.
The Minecraft McDonald's version. I'm calling it.
Ron tweeted an image on Twitter today of an archer who was armored in pure gold.
The Minecraft McDonald's build. Golden archers.
Whoa.
You like that?
Yeah. That's very good. It's very good. Were you able to kill him? Did you run out of arrows?
Oh, I killed him. Wow. I killed him
killed
to
him,
death.
Killed him dead?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the new build. It was pushed down to me a couple of days ago. 1.4.2.
Ooh.
Version 1.4.2. And it's got, all this new stuff. It's got new sound effects. It's got new little monsters. It's got bats that fly around.
Cool.
That swoop on you. It's got archers that are... Yeah, dressed in with golden breastplates and helmets and
awesome, and making them harder to kill.
Yes,
so it's almost like a little boss fight.
That's right. And the minecarts, they make train noises.
Oh, cute!
Ah, it's awesome. Woo-hoo. It's awesome.
Oh, I have to get into it. I haven't updated yet.
Update.
Can I just check something with you, Dr. Ron?
Please.
You're self-employed, aren't you?
I am.
I rest my case.
What does that mean? It means he works harder than people who work 9 to 5. He works 9 till 9 the next day.
No, I need games at the end of the day.
You do, don't you, in the tech game, don't you?
Deal with things.
Yep, exactly.
When that thing just doesn't work right, that hosting just doesn't work right, you get hacked, you need some respite.
Bugger it, I'll start Minecraft.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to unwind.
And the news?
The news, Project Eternity closed on Kickstarter with over 4.1 million, making it the most successfully... highest funded video game on the crowdfunding platform Kickstarter.
$4.1 million.
$4.1 million.
You'd get a lot of game for that, I would have thought.
Yes, you will. And it's by Obsidian Entertainment, who are...
Are they local?
No, they're American.
Are they?
Big, big studio, yeah. That's Chris Avalone, who came to GCAPS, actually, from Obsidian Entertainment. Small world. They outtook? Yeah, that's totally a word. They outtook
Is
Double
now.
Fine Adventure, which had its
took
Kickstarter
out.
Of took out, outtook, out, overtook. There we go. That's what I was looking
Annihilated.
For.
Annihilated.
We'll get there eventually.
Bought.
They had
Massacred.
3.3 million. So
Assimilated. Thesaurus.
The project had 77,667 backers with a grand total of $4.1 million. Dollars.
That's pretty impressive. And that's the biggest crowdsourced dev game ever, is it?
On Kickstarter, yep.
On Kickstarter.
Yep. Yeah. So the project started on September 14th and exceeded its pledged goal of 1.1 million within 24 hours.
So how do the crowdsourcing work? So does everyone who pledged have to now cough up or do they do increments?
If they reach their goal,
your
money goes through. So you pledge your money and if they reach their goal, the money goes through.
Oh, okay. So you put $100 on your credit card and if they make the goal, then
they charge
gets debited.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. But it sounds simple. But unfortunately, I've come across as well the first story where it's gone a bit wrong.
Ooh.
Which is my next story. The Kickstarter game has been halted as the developers quit. This is where it starts getting messy.
So what happens? You get a refund on your card?
Well, Kickstarter have said they do
charge back.
They will not get involved with refunds.
Ooh.
Kickstarter won't. So it's the job of the person who set up this Kickstarter campaign. Haunts the Manse Macabre has stopped as programmers on the project have quit. Developer Mob Rules Games head Rick DeCan posted an update to the game's project page to reveal both programmers have left the studio, taking up jobs at Google and elsewhere. Neither developer is able to work on the game in their spare time. The Kickstarter campaign surpassed its $25,000 target and closed at $28,739, which doesn't seem like a lot when you have the previous story, but that is a lot of money. The money has been spent, DeCan said, but I will personally refund out of my own pocket anyone who wants to withdraw their support, no questions asked. Those seeking refunds can email DeCan directly through his website, his email address listed on the Kickstarter website. We're going to make this game, and if you can hang on for what looks like to be a long road ahead, we will get it finished, he said. But that's not what I asked you to sign up for, and it's not what you gave us money for. So email me directly through Kickstarter if you would like your pledge refunded. Props to him for standing up and saying that. I think that takes a lot of humility to do that, and it would have been horrible because that's his baby.
It would have been so easy not to do that.
It would have, yeah. But it shows some guts there, so... Well done, and we hope that goes smoothly because that's a horrible situation to be in. We got a lot of listeners who like Civilization 5. There's a Civilization MMO coming to Asia.
Mm.
Hopefully it will make its way down here soon. Also, Gangnam Style and, and Call Me Maybe are coming to Dance Central 3. I've never been so happy in my life.
Well, you can go prancing around the house doing... What's it, Gangnam Style?
Gangnam Style.
Yeah, the Korean... Yeah.
Yeah,
crazy dance thing.
Yep, that's coming to Dance Central 3. So that would be heaps of fun. Come on, like it wouldn't be heaps of fun to dance that in front of the telly on your Kinect. there's also going to be songs from Justin Bieber and One Direction.
You're not
going to
be any fit state for dancing in front of a Kinect in the next little bit.
That's my workout. I do my Dance Central too.
I thought you were on the treadie.
I am both. I'm not going to put on as much weight as I did with Liam. The expansion will be restricted to the front only.
Do you hear that, Bart? Make sure she stands true to her claim.
Yep. Yeah, when I'm a million kilos, you can tell me off. So that's going to be good. Ubisoft announced last week that Gangnam Style would be on Just Dance 4. So it's good to see that it's going to be on Just Dance 4 and Dance Central 3, which are two
different... Which platforms are they?
Just Dance 4 is...
That's the...
Everything else.
Yeah.
And Dance Central 3 is Kinect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just Dance 4...
The
no,
Wii,
just
I think
Wii,
that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
I thought it was... I think it's Just Wii, Dance Central, Just Dance.
Yeah, I don't know. Already, I think the kids got two the other day.
Yeah,
it's Christmas presents.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And
I'm
less than
a Dance
2 months
Central
of Christmas,
person, now. So I don't know about Just Dance. But I'm pretty happy that Call Me Maybe and Gangnam Style are coming.
Call Me Maybe.
It's good. Yeah.
My kids walk around the house singing that.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Mm. So the Harmonix has said that the tracks will include authentic choreography as well, which is good. Now I just want them to bring out Single Ladies, and then we'll have the whole lot, the trifecta. So that's very exciting.
Very good. Oh, well, as things are moving, GCAP was good.
GCAP was good. The Acme event was good and should be able to be
And what's the other
harvested
impacts,
from
wasn't
the internet
it?
Soon.
That's coming to town?
Coming to Melbourne in 2013 and 14.
Wow. So what do you expect to see there?
You get a lot of local developers holding... tables there, so you can walk through sort of the exhibition hall and watch local developers spruik their games to you, which is really exciting and cool. I might be there with Tin Man Games, perhaps.
Wow.
If I'm lucky.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I'll have a four-month-old at the time, though, so who knows. But it should be good. I'll be wearing it, perhaps. Wearing the child.
Wearing something, yes.
I'll put stickers all over the baby's head and selling games.
Very good. So that's... That's what's happening in the gaming world this week.
It is. So Minecraft's had a big update.
Yeah, that'll Dr. Ronald.
I'll be downloading that when I get home.
You need to.
Yep.
Archers with golden armor.
I know.
Oh, dear. All right, that's Tech Talk Radio. Thanks. We missed that last week. It was good.
There was a fair bit there that I didn't talk about, but one day we'll get there.
All right, back with more after this.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Tiger Airways are in the news for the wrong reason at the moment.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
They didn't take any heed of people that said unsubscribe me on their email list. And as a result, the Australian Communications Media Authority came along and pinged them with a $110,000 infringement notice because too many people complained about spamming.
They warned them not once, not twice, but 13 times in 2011 and said, nah, come on, enough's enough.
Yeah.
You're going to court now. Off to see the magistrate.
What does it take for some organisations to actually stop doing what they know they shouldn't do?
Well, more than 13 warnings, apparently.
Yeah.
For the fine to be more than what they make from it, generally.
There's a few spammers out there at the moment. There's even, I think, some local .com.au people have been sending emails without unsubscribes and where did you get my email address from? So there's a fair bit of it out there still. And if you Google the ACMA site, be sure to report that spam to, I think it's report-spam@ACMA and all that. So you just forward it on to them. And that's the way they get to hear about unwanted spam-related things. But no, Tiger, they obviously got into trouble. Yes, the investigation, ACMA found Tiger Airways had ignored numerous requests from individual consumers to be removed from their email data, mailing list and all that sort of stuff. So naughty, Tiger. Anyway, that's what happens if you choose to ignore your consumers' requests. And the other thing, too, the untold damage it would have done, people would have said, not flying with these guys again, and moved on to another airline, which wasn't too bad. I think the only spam I get from them, and I use the word spam loosely here, is just the updates for the awards when they say, you've got this many points, or you haven't got this many points, whatever the case may happen to be.
Do you fly Tiger, do you?
No, never. Do you?
No.
No? Yes. Let's not get into airlines now, shall we? That's a whole new can
of worms. This is not airline radio.
No, indeed. A hacker infiltrated the New South Wales Education Department's email system.
Ruh-roh.
I think this is more funny than it is anything else, but the New South Wales Education Minister, Adrian Piccoli, revealed a hacker gained access to, unauthorised access, obviously, to a senior department executive's email account, using it to send messages to all of the staff. Piccoli raised the alleged hack in response to an unrelated question in State Parliament, where he said the email of the account director general of the Department of Education had been hacked and emails would be sent to all staff, and just giving people grief, which is good. So don't, if you're a large person in an organisation,
wasn't legitimate.
I guess maybe some of the content in the email might have.
If you worked
been
in an office bit, like that, you'd get, you know, grief from a lot of people all day long.
Yeah. No, they don't go into detail about what the content was, but obviously this person said something he thought was very funny, and it just snowballed from there. Now, Dr. Ron, you've had a few interesting issues. I saw your tweets on the weekend. What happened around your place? Oh, apparently, you got visited by people that you weren't welcome about.
Did. I had a
in
lot,
cyberspace.
I had a lot of trouble. Yes, with one of my sites running WordPress, which is a blogging platform.
Yes.
Yeah, got hacked not once but twice.
So what did they
do? About 24 hours. They put up a
advertising or something?
Yeah, funny looking index page.
Oh, so they removed the front the whole part of your site.
Yeah, with
and
links.
Weren't subtle about it.
No, they weren't subtle at all. No. And Kaspersky on my desktop PC actually picked it up when I went to go to the site. And it said, that site's infected with malware. If you're sure you want to go there, then click here, but we recommend you don't. I thought, that's odd. Why would Kaspersky be telling me that on that site? That's not infected with malware. So I turned the Kaspersky warning off and went there and oh dear, that doesn't look like the site I was expecting it to be.
Really? So what did you do?
I thought I cleaned up the first time, and
did
I didn't.
Blow it away and re-upload, or
I did the second
do?
Time. I completely destroyed the account and recreated it from scratch.
Yeah.
I think it was some sort of SQL injection attack on WordPress, but it was running the latest version of WordPress.
But what about the plugins? Because it's the plugins that sort of give a lot of power to users on WordPress.
I think
so.
You
reckon it would have got in that way?
This site had a number of plugins, and it might have been a dodgy plugin. I'm not sure.
How do you know whether you get a good plugin or not? I guess it's reputation-based, isn't it?
You have to look at the reputation, how it's rated in the WordPress store, on the WordPress, the plugin library, I suppose. Google it first to make sure that there are no bad reports from other WordPress users, I guess. Also, do extra things as well. Like you can change permissions on a lot of files to make them read-only. It can impact on how WordPress actually operates if you go to change things later down the track, like make changes to your themes or your sites. You might have to go and change those permissions back again. But for the most part, the site can run with stuff locked down pretty tightly, and that's what I've done now.
And I guess you would have had a secure password, you know, all the good things, uppercase, lowercase, punctuation and numbers.
Well,
and stuff.
I did. I did the first time, and I thought, gee, it must have taken a lot to brute force this password, so I changed it to something even, you know, twice as strong, and it was hacked again. And I thought, no, they're not brute forcing that password. They couldn't possibly
in that period
that short
of time.
Space of time. No, yeah. So they left something behind. So, yeah, the solution was to just blow everything away and start again.
Oh, well, very good. So, did you back up, by the way? Because you know how you can export XML files out of WordPress, which is like the control software, or the all your hard work goes into one file.
Yeah.
Did you pull that down and just like re-upload it again? Or?
Yeah, I did. I had backups there. The problem with the WordPress, though, is that it doesn't always work nicely. It's not a slick import and export utility, unfortunately. So I had to do a lot of manual changes. The only way to do that is to dump the whole database, the whole WordPress database, and that requires playing around in MySQL, if you're familiar with all that sort of stuff.
Oh, no. Delete, start again.
And then importing it all into a clean database. But, you know,
you can usually do an export of the MySQL database from cPanel or whatever your hosting company uses, can't you?
Yeah, if you know how to do that.
Yeah, it was not all that hard. Not that much harder than using the CMS, using the normal admin page of WordPress, is it? Or?
No, I don't think so, but okay. It just depends. Yep. People will have different levels of technical ability.
Well, this is true, yeah. Worth Googling and finding out how to do it, though.
All right, well, there you go. Lesson learnt there. Lesson learnt. Be careful.
Well, I don't know. My lesson hasn't been learnt because I don't know how they got what vulnerability they've exploited, which is very,
very
frustrating.
But do your backups, I guess, is probably the thing.
Well, so your backups, yeah.
Bring it back in and take it from there. All right, haven't been down that path and hope I never do. There have been, I have been involved in sites over the course of time where people have got in. They haven't been WordPress sites, but obviously people can get in through other people's, how should you say, you know how some people don't change the security on their files and on shared hostings, people can get in and replicate across shared hostings quite easily.
Yeah, sometimes, your hosting company might not be as diligent doing their updates as you would hope they would be. Or
so it's not your fault, it's really the hosting company hasn't, as you say, Graham, done the job correctly. So anyway, joys of it all. Let's talk about mobile phones briefly. Vodafone have put the axe through 500 jobs locally in a restructure.
Yeah, that came out today, I think, didn't it?
Yeah. The company acknowledged that it has failed to stem the customer exodus, which it saw lose 500,000 customers in 2011. So
it takes a lot to get reputation back once it's lost.
And I was going to say that. They really overpromised and underdelivered, and I think a lot of people got burnt in that time. And, well, it's stuck, hasn't it? I don't know, personally, I don't know anyone who's moved into that company, but then again, that's the circle of people that I hang around with. But three were basically assimilated into Vodafone, and that's sort of all but gone now. I think there's only one or two bills that you get from time to time, but they didn't do any favours. I think my father-in-law ended up on, he had a Three Mobile broadband card. And as they changed the network over, he ended up roaming for a bit and got a big whack of a bill, and then they didn't want to know about it. And it's the same company, if you know what I mean. So I don't think they did anyone any friends or won any friends in the changeover between the two companies. So
no, it wasn't exactly a smooth process of them connecting the merging the networks together. They had a lot of technical issues and call dropouts and things that wouldn't hand over correctly between cells and stuff like that. So
yeah, well, we're now no longer customers of them for that very reason. Anyway, customer numbers over 2012 also dropped a further 10%, and the company claims job losses will predominantly impact the back office and administrative roles, and the affected people's slated to leave the company before the end of November. So there's a nice Christmas present for one and all. But having said that, I do believe their intentions to roll out 4G is still going to happen in 2013, because you want to be competitive in this market. Telstra's got theirs out there, which I was using today, which is good, in the inner city of Melbourne.
And Optus are busily rolling out theirs as well.
Yep. So if you've got any of these new devices, like you boys, the one that you've got, they're all 4G. Have you had a... I think Dr. Ron's given it a run for its money in the 4G land. Have you had a go with yours yet in 4G land?
Yeah, Great. A couple of times I've been in range of 4G. Mixed bag. Sometimes really good, sometimes not so good.
Yeah.
In Essendon, I don't know whether I was right on the edge of the city or right on the edge of the airport. I was probably halfway in between, but I was getting 4G, but only one bar. So that wasn't so good. But when I was close to the city, I got some really, really fast speeds at times. So
sitting in a pub
I think I've used two-thirds of my Bandwidth allowance just doing speed tests, though, so that's probably...
Yeah, you do tend to go through a bit of bandwidth, that, especially as they've knocked you down a bit on those sort of things at the moment, the new plans, anyway. Yes, 4G, obviously, in the city centres around most Australian areas and some regional areas as well. I had a bit of a bash with it this afternoon. I was getting around about 21, 22 megabits down on Telstra, which wasn't too bad, but 13 up, which is really good. So if you ever want to get a document somewhere or a big file somewhere, jump onto LTE. It's not like the old DSL type sort of options, is it?
No, it's with these new phones, though, even without the LTE, because they do dual cell HSPA, you get really good results even on the old 3G network. So I'm just looking for... I did one here.
I was getting between 20 and 30 megabits per second down in the city. I was at the Queen Victoria Market on the weekend.
Yeah, I would have expected more than that, but that's me from what I've read in people's...
Being like 27, 28 down was good.
Yeah. Well, I'm sitting here in the studio right now on 3G, and as you say, Graham, I'm getting 22.64 meg down, and I'm on 3G. So that's the dual cell stuff that you speak
of. That's right. Yeah, that's pretty good. The best I've got...
Only 1 meg up.
the best I've got in my list of speed test results here is 47,436 kilobits per second. That's 47 megabits per second up.
See, that's download. Impressive. I haven't got that yet.
Yeah, and 22,307 kilobits per second. That's 22 megabits per second upload. So and a 49 millisecond ping time. So
yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Days of connectivity are here, aren't they?
Mm.
Cost you a fortune. As everyone in the studio...
It'll only go downhill from here as people subscribe to the network, though. That's the sad
thing. Well, hopefully they roll out it and keep it going and all that. Be good on when you're out in the regional centres and you're the only person on a cell, you get some blindingly fast speeds out there. Anyway, hey, are you happy with yours, Dr. Ron?
I'm very happy.
Yeah?
It's working very well.
Yeah, good. All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
It's that time of the week.
It is that time of the week. The OddSpot gadget app and website of the week are coming up. Have they got some good ones tonight? Are they going to make us all cringe, Dr.
Always good.
Always good ones. Right, yep. Back after this.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Telstra is the only carrier that can do location-based early warning.
Yes, make a sweeping generalisation.
By here. Absolutely.
Oh, please tell me they printed the CCV as well.
Yeah.
The tiles change to offer you updates at a glance.
You sound like a climate change sceptic. What did you think I was going to say?
Who knows?
Time is an illusion.
Lunchtime, doubly so.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! This thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
The LiveScribe Sky Wi-Fi Smart Pen.
Sorry, what was that?
The LiveScribe Sky Wi-Fi Smart Pen.
Yeah.
Works with proprietary physical notebooks to record handwritten notes and linked audio files, and then send them directly to your Evernote account via Wi-Fi. How cool is that?
So you can sit there in lecture theatres, in meetings?
Yes.
Writing notes?
Yes, writing notes, and then you press the send button and it uploads to your Evernote account.
Okay. And then what do you do with it? Print it out?
Well, you've got it online. You've got an electronic copy. Engadget says the latest notebooks also have buttons for sending your captured thoughts to Google Drive and Dropbox and Facebook. But those services won't be activated until early next year.
I don't use a pen when I'm in meetings. I normally type straight into my note, whatever I'm using.
But if you had like one of those little Wacom tablet and pen things...
I've got one. Several.
I know. And if you could just write onto a normal notepad and then write your notes that way, and at the end of the meeting just press send and have it electronically...
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. 2 gigabyte storage pens cost $170.
Oh, so it stores it in the pen, then sends it.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
4 gig costs $200 and 8 gig costs $250. And when you finish recording or writing, you can tap anywhere on your notes and play back the audio from that particular moment.
Oh, really?
How nice is that?
That's good. It's a bit like a meeting in stealth. You'd never miss a moment, would you?
Indeed.
But you said this.
Indeed. Officially launched today, the 29th of October, and will be available soon in Officeworks. That's our gadget, Andrew. LiveScribe's Sky Wi-Fi Smart Pen.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week.
Do you consider yourself a Lord of the Rings aficionado?
Middle Earth.
Yes.
Is too much Tolkien not even enough?
What are you talking about?
Did you see the new New Zealand currency, the gold coin? The $10 gold coin, which is worth $3,500. You won't see many of them in circulation.
I did not.
That's what Peter Jackson does to an economy.
Our website this week, lotrproject.com.
Oh, yeah.
You will lose your stuff when you see this website. It's an attempt by its creator to place every character in Tolkien's fictional universe into a family tree.
Wow.
It features an interactive family tree of all of Tolkien's races. There are graphs showing populations by age and gender, statistics showing the average lifespans of different races. There's a Hobbit tribute site, and even a link to the Google Play Store where you can install your very own Lord of the Rings project application.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. And a lot of people listening will be Tolkien nerds, and they will appreciate this for what it is. Our website, Andrew, lotrproject.com. Woohoo!
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
SwiftKey is an Android keyboard application. SwiftKey understands how words work together, giving much more accurate corrections and predictions than other keyboards. Very sloppy typing will magically make sense, even if you miss spaces.
Oh, I do that all the time.
And SwiftKey also predicts your next words. It learns the words and phrases you use and how you interact with your keyboard as you use it to make typing easier and even more accurate over time. You can personalize it using your Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, or blog posts.
So does this mean, because I had a television, and the space bar on my keypad is for stop and go, for play and stop. And I've, over the course of years, I've given keyboards plenty on the space bar, and now it's a point where you probably got emails from me with words joined together. That's why.
Because the space bar.
So is this app going to fix that?
Well, it will on your Android device.
Ah, well, I don't hit too hard on my Android device.
$3.99 in the Android market, Andrew.
We need to bring it on the PC market too, or the Mac market, whatever you want to call it.
Like I'm saying, write one.
Oh, he's right.
App of the week, Andrew, SwiftKey for Android.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ah, the meatloaf!
Bong. Jeremy Bong.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Graham's carefully scrutinising lotrproject.com. Has he found any mistakes yet? You can click on each one of those little guys and it pops out a balloon to the side with a description of who the person is.
Amazing.
It is. It's amazing. The scientific world. Tom Bombadil. Yeah, what's all that about?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
The scientific world is reeling after six Italian scientists were sentenced to 6 years jail.
What?
I'm not going to be a scientist in Italy anymore.
For failing to warn residents about a deadly earthquake.
Oh.
A government official has also received a jail term. The 6.3 quake struck the city of Lecchia and killed 309 people in central Italy in 2009. The seven convicted were all members of the National Commission for the Forecast and Prevention of Major Risks. They were charged with negligence and malpractice in evaluating the danger of an earthquake and keeping the city informed of the risks. But the sentence has been widely condemned by the scientific community.
Globally, I would hope.
Globally, indeed. And scientists and the government official have indicated they will appeal the sentence. That's our Odd Spot, Andrew.
And that is our show for this week. Thank you, everybody. Now, Dr. Ron, do you want to put some websites up there for where people can go and register for our last show ever?
Firstly,
December the 3rd.
If you have not already done so, you should subscribe to the email newsletter. All links will
There's been a few subscriptions coming lately, too.
And it's good. It's
You're
good
banging
to see
the rocks together, guys. Indeed. Well done.
Final show, Monday the 3rd of December. TechTalkRadio.eventzilla.net. Register there so we know you're coming. And if you want to join us for dinner and Christmas drinks on Tuesday the 4th of December, techtalksocial.eventzilla.net. Register your interest there. Can you go to both? Of course you can. We will be. How much do I have to pay? Don't ask. It's all right. Bring your checkbook. No, both events are free of charge. Come and join us. It'd be great to see you.
Yeah, but you got to buy your own substantial bits on the next night.
If you want to buy dinner and drinks, you can. Yeah,
we'll be there. We'll be doing that. That'll be good. That's the show for this week. Thank you, Linesman. Thank you, Ball Boys. And thank you, everyone on the panel.
Graham, what was your address for your
Mobroco?
If you want to support Movember and those organisations I mentioned, the Prostate Cancer Society and Beyond Blue, mobro.co/GCTTR.
And Graham will be twit-picking weekly.
You're not helping, guys. mobro.co/GCTTR.
It's called a hook. And it makes you remember murder when you're writing it in the thing.
Oh, I see.
Rural juror.
The rural juror. We're actually helping you. It just doesn't sound like it.
Okay.
Have you seen that? Thank it's you very funny, the rural juror.
Rural juror.
We should go now. Thank you, everyone. Until next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellists Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer, expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by GC Support and Shaq West. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and around the world that broadcast the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. Contact us for the two-hour version or access the one-hour show on the Community Radio Network. Visit cbaa.org.au for further details. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03-8682-9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. Don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk Radio chat, and solve your issues on the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.